Let's look at another kind of brain trauma now, psychological trauma. Our next guest is a professor of psychiatry at Boston University School of Medicine and founder of the Trauma Care Center in Brookline, Massachusetts. Dr. Bessel van de Kolk studies how the actual structure of the brain is changed after trauma. Welcome to Sound Medicine. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
In your new book, you talk about how traumatic events shape people's brains and minds. What sort of events rise to the level of the type of trauma you discuss?
Getting stuck in a terrifying situation in which you feel that there is nothing you can do to change what's going on. And that ranges from being an abused and neglected child who is left with terror and distress to going to war or being trapped in a car accident or being trapped in a violent marital situation.
Now, can these events change the physical structure of the brain?
They can change neuronal connections and activation in the brain, yeah. They shape the brain, yeah.
And the way the brain functions?
Yes. So our brain is a social organ that is shaped by experience and that is shaped in order to respond to the experience that you're having. And so particularly early on in life, if you're in a constant state of terror, your brain is shaped to be on alert for danger and to try to make those feelings, those terrible feelings, go away. And so there's all kind of problems with sensing fear and sensing terror and taking action. And so the brain gets very confused. And that leads to problems with excessive anger, excessive shutting down, and doing things to yourself that make you feel better, like taking drugs or taking razor blades to your skin to desperately make yourself feel better. Mm-hmm. And these things are almost always the result of having a brain that is set to be feel in danger and in fear.
Then
as you grow up and get a more stable brain, then a traumatic event can still cause changes that make you hyper-alert to danger and hypo-alert to the ordinary pleasures of everyday life.
So are you saying then you're talking about more of a child's brain is more malleable than an adult brain?
No, a child brain is virtually non-existent. It's being shaped by experience. So child brain is extremely malleable, yeah.
So what's the actual mechanism by which it changes the brain?
How is the brain formed? The brain is formed by feedback from the environment. So if you see things that feel safe, you engage with it, you stay focused on it, and you shape your hearing and your vision and your movement and your attention in order to engage with things around you that give you a mutual sense of pleasure and interaction. And so our brain is basically a social organ. And so if you're not touched or seen in an orphanage, let's say, whole part of your brain barely develop, and so you become an adult who is out of it, who cannot connect with other people, who cannot feel a sense of self, a sense of pleasure, because that's all shaped in the context of your relationship with other people. The brain is a profoundly relational part of our body. And so depending on your experiences, your brain gets to feel a sense of pleasure, a sense of engagement, a sense of exploration. The part of your brain open up to learn and to see things and to accumulate new experiences, to form friendships. But if you run into nothing but danger and fear, your brain gets stuck on protecting yourself against danger and fear.
You're listening to Sound Medicine. I'm Barbara Lewis, and I'm speaking with Dr. Bessel van de Kolk, author of The Body Keeps the Score. You know, we've covered the effect of toxic stress on children on this show, which is major unrelenting stress often caused by adults
right.
who should be protecting
right.
those children. Does trauma have a very different effect on children compared to adults?
Yeah, because of developmental issues. So you have an immature brain. So in adults, let's say you have, life's been relatively good to you. You become competent. You become good at what you're doing. And then something bad happens. And that sort of injures a little piece of the whole structure. But if you have toxic stress of abandonment, of chronic violence, then it's pervasive and has very, very pervasive behavioral effects on the capacity to pay attention, to learn, to see where other people are coming from as opposed to your own wishes, and it really creates havoc with the whole social environment. This is a huge issue. And the Center for Disease Control calculates that child abuse and neglect is our single largest public health issue in America. And it leads to criminality and drug addiction and chronic illness and people going to prison and repetition of the trauma on your own kids when you were messed up. And so it's a gigantic issue.
Are there effective solutions? Because you would think of a whole childhood full of trauma and neglect would be very, very difficult to overcome.
It is difficult to deal with, but not impossible. One thing we can do, which is not all that well explored because there hasn't been much funding for it, is something called neurofeedback or some of these new brain techniques where you can actually help people to rewire this wiring of their brain structures. And that's really sort of the frontier that my lab happens to be working on. And so that's the most extreme one. Putting people into a safe environment and helping them to create a sense of safety inside of themselves. And for that, you can do very simple things like holding, rocking. We just did an NIH-funded study on yoga for chronic PTSD, mainly with people with very bad histories. And we found that yoga was more effective than any medicine that we had studied up to now. It doesn't mean that yoga cures it, but yoga makes a substantial difference in the right direction because it helps you to create a safe relationship to your body.
So is it the poses? Is it the breathing? Is it the focusing on the present? I mean, what is it?
It is the breathing. It's the becoming safe to feel what you feel. When you're traumatized, you're afraid of what you're feeling because your feeling is always terror, fear, and helplessness. And I think these body-based techniques help you to feel what happens in your body and to breathe into it and say, oh, this is what's happening in my body, and to not run away from it. So you learn to befriend your internal experience. The imprint of trauma is feeling agitated and feeling helpless and feeling heartache and feeling gut-wrenching sensations. It's a very physical, sensate experience, being terrified and being helpless. And so techniques that help people to feel safe in their bodies are enormously important components of treatment.
One last question, and this is about physical trauma, such as an injury from a bad car accident, for example. In your work, do you consider physical trauma in the same way as a psychological trauma?
I'm very intrigued with the work of people who work, let's say, doing with yoga or body work with people who have become paralyzed. I have a case in my book of a patient of mine who developed multiple sclerosis, who went through Feldenkrais therapy and was able to continue to have quite a full life despite the fact of the physical limitations. And so that it's possible to help people to continue to function optimally despite the fact that part of their bodies no longer are fully present for them and help them to cope. But I think what the therapy should focus on is to use whatever capacities that are left to optimally have them be in service of the life of that person so that person doesn't become a chronically ill, bedridden, frozen, and helpless person.
Well, Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, the author of The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for interviewing me.
Dr. Bessel van der Kolk is a professor of psychiatry at the Boston University School of Medicine and medical director of the Trauma Center in Brookline, Massachusetts. His book is The Body Keeps the Score.